Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Maybe it's the same thing for Maw. It has crappy trailer,
fairly, you know, a pretty good movie. And let's get into Ma. Basically, what you see in the trailer is what you get. So Ma, her name is Sue Ann, and she's going crazy in a sense. But no, really, Maggie and her mother, Maggie is moving back with her mother to her mother's hometown, where her mother grew up with some friends, blah, blah, here and there. And she goes to school. Her mother, played by Juliette Lewis, decides to go work at a casino as a maid, you know, barmaid. So she goes to school, and she meets up with a couple new people. Let's see, she meets up with Haley, Andy, Chaz, and Daryl. She starts to get an affection towards Andy, and they kind of kick it off and do the whole boyfriend-girlfriend thing a little bit later in the movie. And so, as you see in the trailer, they all decide, hey, let's get some booze. Let's get do something. And there's this concert that, you know, Maggie wants to go with her mother, but her mother's work schedule doesn't allow that, so she goes off with the friends. And that's where they meet Ma, or her name is Sue Ann in the movie. And she decides to, okay, I'll buy your booze, I'll do this, blah, blah, blah. So they go out to this drinking rock and have fun. And then they kind of just, you know, Ma learns a little bit about who they are and their the past that the kids have, or their connection that she has to the new kids from her past. And it goes sort of a downward spiral from there. Overall, the movie is not bad. It has, you know, for what it is trying to accomplish, it does well. Because I know a lot of people in the theater, you know, my screening, they were, you know, like doing like the winces and stuff like that. Even, you know, just they were having a fun time with it. It's like the Purge election year, where I didn't really think all too well of it, but the crowd was having fun with it. This is the exact same one, you know, like Strangers Pray at Night. People were having fun with that one, but I wasn't. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But this one, like, it wasn't where I wasn't having fun with it. It's just all these other things was coming through my mind. It was just like a run list, you know, a dirt sheet, if you will. Like, okay, here's this film, here's that film. It's just like over and over, just like all these little things. Because with like Sue Ann and her history, that like reminded me of like the beginning of Slaughter High, and like what went down there. And then there's like parts of like something like, not really the psychic aspect, but like there's like parts of Carrie in there. And it's just like it kept going. And then like towards the end, it's just like, I've seen this done numerous times, and like the build up to everything is just, it's kind of like not really fully developed in a sense. And I kind of, in a sense, it should have been a little bit darker, or just a little, you know, pushed it a little bit to the edge a little bit, because like they kind of shied away from a few things that could have been cool. Especially towards the end when, you know, Maul goes extra nuts. And the reasoning for attacking these kids is kind of stupid in a sense. But again, stupid things is what excels in horror movies. Octavia Spencer as Maul, she did a superb job. I mean, she did a good, you know, changing her demeanor. People saying it was creepy, or, you know, I've heard people say it was, like, creepy or whatever. No, it's not a creepy movie. It's just her demeanor changes, you know, from, like, going all happy and proper and partying to, you know, giving you a stare down. That's not creepy, in my opinion. You know, it's just, you know, it's odd in a sense. I mean, to me, it's just like, oh, she's acting odd. Not creepy, honestly. But, you know, everyone does, you know, decent job. You know, the Ma, you know, I'm going to say Ma because that's technically her name in the film. But she's also like a veterinary, you know, veterinary assistant. So she's like helping dogs, but like she's too wrapped up and involved in these kids and their past that they have with her that she's wanting to get. Like, you know, she becomes like single white female almost. Well, not single white, but single black female. just, you know, like, you know, stalking and all that stuff and buying them stuff, and she's going crazy, you know, jewelry's missing, and it just keeps on going. So it's like, it doesn't really deviate from the trailer. Basically, in the trailer is what you get. So, you know, she's partying, having fun, and then she goes a little crazy towards the end. It's just the reasoning why she's going crazy is the thing. And it's kind of just like, oh, okay, whatever. And like, that's the reason why? All right, whatever. You know, it's nothing really too crazy. Like, why go after someone's kids? Or just like, even some kids in general, you know, in the group she goes after, like, there's no reason to go after them. But she does anyway because they're in this group of with Maggie and Andy. Isn't Andy? Yeah, Andy. But overall, like I said, it could have been darker. There's like jab, you know, like lines said early on that when it came to fruition later on, it could have went another way. Like the one girl notices her teeth and. Later on in the film, she does something with her mouth, and it's, you know, like, you could have went a little bit further and you did something with the teeth inside her mouth instead of just her mouth. And then, like, again, it's just the last act is, like, again, a lot of things I've seen, like Madhouse, Happy Birthday to Me had that same ending. So there's, like, again, just a checklist of all these things. It's like grabbed all these other movie plots and just put them into this one. But again, it's not a terrible movie. Like I said, it just needs to be pushed to the edge, a little bit darker in tone. I mean, it does have the, you know, sort of weird chipper attitude towards it, with Ma and all her shenanigans and them trying to figure out stuff. But yeah, there's really not much to it, honestly. It's pretty straightforward. The reasoning for Ma going crazy is kind of lackluster in a sense, and then what she does to everyone is kind of lackluster, and then, like I said, it's just, there's a lot of stuff that this could have been pretty good, you know, like a good exploitation film if they really went and pushed it to the edge. I mean, it could have been like sort of like an I Spit on Your Grave, but of course without, not the rape or anything. Well, technically not without the rape. But, like, instead of, like, again, the rape victims of, you know, did Camille Keaton in the I Spit on Your Grave is, like, the kids' parents, you know, the parents of the kids doing stuff. But, yeah, it could have been a lot better. But, again, it's not too terrible. It's still watchable. It's still a decent movie. It's one of the better ones so far of the year. But it's not really too great. But it is a watchable film, and it is, you know, it has some okay moments, and it, you know, it could have went, you know, a little bit more, like I said, a little bit more darker in tone, a little bit more, you know, eyes covering, you know, cringe stuff to the kids, but they kind of played it safe a little bit and just, you know, made what it is. There is a little bit of violence, well, again, towards the kids and everything, but, like, there's, like, the scene you see in the trailer with her in the car and girl running, there's a backstory with that. But like I said, like, if they did that and, like, had that tone where it's just, like, this sort of, like, you know, what's going to happen next, you know, it could have done something. I mean, of course, there is that, but there's just, like, oh, it's just whatever. And it's nothing too terrible, and I'm kind of going around in circles now. But, yeah, it could have been something more. Instead, it's like middle of the road, where it could have been, you know, like with the cringe and darker in tone. They could have, like, there's literally a scene in there where, I mean, there's a flaccid penis, and they could have done something with that, but nothing happens with it. Sadly, looking forward to, like, okay, this is getting somewhere, and it doesn't go anywhere. So they had moments where it could have been, you know, a little bit more cringy, you know, to a cringe factor affair where people like covering their eyes and going, oh, something like that in the theater. I mean, there's people doing that in my theater, but again, I'm not, this crowd is always the stupid crowd. But, that's Ian, that's my review. What's your take on Ma?
Well, I know I was kind of looking forward to it just because I, you know, like seeing new movies come out in theaters. But, I mean, that's exactly what I thought that movie was going to be. Just kind of like a meh movie. Not like, I didn't think it was going to be terrible. I just thought it would be like just a, I didn't hate it kind of movie.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, I didn't hate it, but it wasn't grand.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like one of those movies that you can probably, you know, watch and then slightly forgettable, but then, you know, you can just maybe later on, you know, just when you're bored or something, revisit it. But, I mean, I'm still going to try to go see it while it's still in theater or just watch it online. But, disappointing.
It's a good starter film. I mean, again, for someone, you know, we said this before with other films. It's a good starter film if you're wanting to, you know, push a little bit further with what your taste is in horror. I mean, so, like, again, just say, like, say Annabelle Girls. Like, they're only, you know, Annabelle, Nun, stuff like that. I mean, this is a good, you know, step up, in a sense. I mean, if you're not going to go all crazy with I Spit on Your Grave or any of those films yet, or even the remake, technically, the remake of the I Spit on Your Grave. You know, I mean, this is a good step up. I mean, honestly, the remake of I Spit on Your Grave has a lot of stuff in it, too. I mean, both of them are pretty
does.
And again, still the original's good, and I haven't seen the new one yet. But it's like 2 hours and something, so it's just like, oh my god. I've talked a lot. Anything else, Ian, before we end our coverage of Maw? You want to add?
I mean, like you said, you know, it was, it's a good, I think it would be, you know, movies like that, you know, for people who are just getting into horror, like the teenagers and stuff, I think it would be, you know, good, the way you, you know, described it would be a, you know, decent film for them to push their self through, and I'm glad that they're putting out movies that are, you know, at least somewhat okay. And, you know, people who haven't watched any, you know, movies like that are just getting into it, that's probably going to be like a super amazing movie to them. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting to see.
And plus, this is a Blumhouse film, so the budget on this was $5 million, and it made 18.3 over the weekend. So it's already tripled its money. So it's good. it's a success on Blumhouse. So that's Blumhouse, where you give them $5 and they'll make 2 movies out of it somehow, you know. So it's already a success. So it's good. I mean, again, that's Blumhouse for you, you know. Low budget, make a pretty good profit. I mean, it's, you know, especially like something like Godzilla as well that came out this past weekend and made like $49 million, something like that, which was way under budget of its actual budget. And I saw both Ma and Godzilla, and Godzilla was okay. Honestly, I mean, the monster stuff was okay. It looks cool. But yeah, the human story arc was kind of jumbled, and it was okay. I mean, I'm looking forward to the next one whenever they do the Kong versus Godzilla, which looks fun. King Ghidorah was
Skull Island was good.
I enjoyed it. Of course, they had like the cannibal Holocaust scene in there with the dude in the, I think it was a spider's leg, giant spider thing in the whatever the grass was. So it was like, it had a lot of horror elements to it, which made it extra, you know, appealing. But yeah, Skull Island was pretty fun. Godzilla, I mean, it's weird that two movies after our Monsters Day marathon came out. It's still kind of a connection that we're still doing Monsters Day with Ma and Godzilla, King of the Monsters, a week after our Monsters Day is over. But yeah, I mean, honestly, Godzilla was all right. It was okay. It just, like, part of it, just like, I wasn't really too thrilled for some reason. I like Rodan in the film. He was a fucking badass. I like the way he looked. There's a lot of, it's like Thor Ragnarok. There's like a lot of, like, computer screensavers you could use for the film. And there's like one with Rodan on the volcano when he comes out, and then there's King Ghidorah when he comes out, and he's like on top of the volcano. And then there's the ready set fight between Godzilla and Ghidorah in the city. So there's like a lot of screensavers I can see being like wallpapers on people's phones and computer screens in the future, whenever it comes out and they can rip it and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it was all right. Looking forward to the next one. All right, and there's a, one bit of news, Ian, before we get into your honeymoon's, you know, stories, and that is the Swamp Thing news. And this is interesting because the trailer for, because it was a new TV show, Swamp Thing, and it was going to be, you know, darker, and it had like all this body horror monster stuff. Swamp Thing looked awesome, and then I don't even know if it's out yet or there's one episode, but they already canceled it. I believe it's like money issues, because they're supposed to get this check or some kind of credit, and it didn't go through, and they had to cancel it. So that sucks, because that, if you, I don't know if you watched the trailer for it, Ian, but that was one of those shows I was looking so forward
to.
What's your thoughts on that?
Like, I love Swamp Thing. I love, like, the whole thing about it, and I'm just kind of like, when it was coming out, I was so excited, like, yeah. But apparently, you know, there's rumors going around that, you know, they're not going to be able to make a show because of that, but they're going to take what they've already done and turn it into a movie. That, you know, that's just rumors, but that'd be such a kick-ass movie. And I would be 100% for it. But I don't know. That DC doesn't know what the hell it's doing with its movies. Like, they're rebooting the entire Justice League. They're rebooting everything because they can't get it together. It's like, come on, take a page from Marvel. Start slow and just keep slowly adding until you're all just like, hey, fuck it, let's just put out a million movies, but they're all connected. Even the TV, even their Netflix TV shows were connected. And that's why, and plus that whole DC streaming channel, I've heard good and bad things. I've heard a lot more bad than good about it. So, I don't know. Hopefully they get their shit together and we get, you know, a good Swamp Thing movie or TV show.
Yeah, I mean, it needs something, because I want to see this. I wanted to watch this, and this is one of those things that's like, again, it could have been bad, it could have been decent, and what could have been whatever, you know. It's like, it's whatever, you know. I don't know, but it's just from the trailer, like, there, it was like it was going like the Swamp Thing animated series with like all the creatures and monsters and all the stuff that was going on there. Of course, there's no like four-armed dudes, but there could have been. But like Swamp Thing looked pretty damn solid, and, you know, big bulking thing. You almost looked like Man Thing there for a bit. They just like made him huge, compared to, of course, the films and the Dick Murdoch or Dick someone who was the original Swamp Thing. So yeah, I mean, you know, I wanted to see it. I wanted to see, because again, it had like a body horror, and it was like Cronenberg Swamp Thing. And it was like, oh, sweet. And like people were like turning into stuff, and there's just all kinds of, you know, then that trailer alone is just like, all right, I'm in. You got me. And then now hearing this, and it's like, well, fuck. So hopefully something comes of it. And, you know, whether, as Ian said, a movie with all the footage they shot, or they just, I don't know, I guess, release it somehow on some kind of, I don't know, But they'll figure it out. Well, I don't know. But yeah, that's honestly, that's like the only bit of main news that I kind of wanted to talk about. Because I haven't been able to. Usually I look, but I had no power for a while, so I wasn't able to look at anything else before the show. So with that being said, I guess that's going to do it for our news portion and reviews of the show. So we're going to get into Ian and his honeymoon adventure in Louisiana and see what all went down there. So Ian, why don't you start us off with your Louisiana haunted adventure?
Well, you know, we got down there on Monday night, and we kind of just dicked around on Tuesday because all our tours were on Wednesday. So we went to a couple places. You know, on Tuesday we saw the big coven house, and that was pretty neat. Like, honestly,
yeah. What Ian's saying is the house from American Horror Story, Coven.
Yeah. That's what I've been calling it the Coven House for like weeks because that's what we've just been calling it. Like, oh, we saw the Coven House. Anyway, but no, like, honestly, it was funny because we actually like just rode the streetcars and took the bus around a lot. We actually were just taking a bus to Walmart and we passed it. It's an unrecognizable, like it just blends in with the scenery. So we literally passed it a couple of times and we looked it up where it was. We were like, oh my God, we literally just came down that way. And there's a big tree blocking off most of it, but it's like right there on the road. Like, you know, kudos to them for making it look like it wasn't in a residential neighborhood like that much. But I mean, it was pretty neat. And, you know, going up there, taking pictures, the house is huge. Like, it's a lot bigger than it looks on TV. Cause you know, they don't show the sides of the house or in the backyard or anything. And we walked around the whole place and it was pretty cool. And, oh, God, I totally forgot. The woman that Kathy Bates plays, we saw her house on our haunted tour, and they were saying that cops still get called to that place because you can hear the screams from the slaves that she tortured and killed. Then, like, it's crazy. And, like, super... You just get a, like, creeped out feeling. Also, I'm trying to remember which house it was, because it was on, it was several houses we walked around that were supposed to be super haunted. And one of them was bought by Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage actually has a lot of history in New Orleans, apparently. Which also, you know, doing that. And, you know, the haunted tours was pretty good. I was kind of disappointed because the guy even brought up that joke because it was through the Bone Lady. And she was running the shop, but she designates her tour guides. And it was kind of cool.
So was the Bone Lady sort of like the Tony Todd character in Hatchet?
I don't think I've actually watched that movie, but the Bone Lady, she had like a headscarf and like bones around her neck. I got to see her in her shop, her voodoo shop, which she had little voodoo dolls made of bones, alligator heads, like it was really interesting, like just walking in there and seeing that. We saw the, apparently, New Orleans has, you know, is considered one of the most haunted cities in the world, or in the United States, and that's because, apparently, that's where Native Americans used to bury their dead. So, they built it on top of a ancient Indian burial ground. And our tour guide was like, have you seen the movie Poltergeist? That's what happens when you do that. But that's, you know, what he's going on about. I was like, huh, that's funny. But yeah, no, it was really interesting seeing, going around, seeing that. And he was talking about the Andrew Jackson Hotel that has the, is considered the second most haunted building in New Orleans. And he said that there's actually like a committee that does that, you know, like goes, you know, by not by like by sighting, but how many different entities are in the house. But he said if it was going by sightings, then this place would be number one. And apparently it used to be a boarding school back in the day, and it burnt down and three boys got caught inside and died. And they still haunt people today, and they're just, apparently they just like fuck around with people. They'll turn TV on, play cartoons and all this, and people apparently like really, you know, stay like at this hotel just for the experience of these kids. And I don't know if it was true or not, you know, if it was just my my tour guide being, you know, just making up stories for about this, but
well, Matt, he kind of had to, because who's going to believe a Krampus? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Well, and he was saying, no, and
you,
he said that he was like, these people that were staying there were mad that, like, they called and were like, you know, they were like, you ruined our honeymoon, because they stayed at a haunted hotel on their honeymoon. They were like, we stayed up for almost 3 days straight, and we were there for a week, not one haunted. And but then apparently they, after they finally got back home, they called back and apologized because they took, you know, a slew of pictures and they were looking through their camera reel. Well, the, apparently the second to the last picture, and that's what this hard tour guide said, it was a photo of them while they were asleep. And I was like, I just thought about it. I was like, that would be freaky. I mean, just like going through your phone, like, oh, let's look at our pictures. What the fuck? That's
yeah,
us
that would,
sleeping.
That's something, again, out of a horror movie, you know.
Yeah, so I was like, that's kind of neat. And so my wife and I are talking about maybe the next time we go there, we might pay that. Also, this is the probably my favorite story on this haunted tour. Now, I'm going to save that. You know, I was saving that for a little bit before I moved on to my other stuff. But there is a restaurant that was owned by this gentleman. I forgot his name. But, like, he, like, lost this building, all his money, in a poker game. And he, his wife and kids were at home, and he goes upstairs, takes a drink, and shoots himself. Well, apparently that place has been haunted ever since. Like, things would be, you know, you would see him in his office where he killed himself, like, pacing back and forth, breaking stuff. And apparently they, like, it's just, it got so bad that people were kept, like, leaving because they were, it was costing them too much money. Because tables would be flipped, chairs would be flipped, things would fly off the walls. And he even said that you can go, and I need to look up the name of this hotel, or, well, kind of, it used to be a hotel, I think, and a nice, really house, but it's a restaurant. But he said you can go on YouTube and look up videos of, like, things flying off the walls. But he said that they had a, they finally got tired of it and got a, a medium to come in and was like, well, let's, but you know, what's, why are you doing this? And he said, because the medium responded that he was saying that he was mad because they were throwing parties every day and not inviting him. So they set up a table. They have the owner set up a table, like sets it up, food, puts, you know, a glass of wine out, and sets it up for him and invites him. And apparently the haunting has stopped. They say you can still see him, you know, new employees are like, dude, I just saw a shadow move in that corner, and they're like, yeah, it's haunted. But apparently you can, it's a really expensive restaurant from what I heard, but you can pay extra and dine with the ghost. So that's kind of neat. I was like, God, it's fucking neat.
Yeah.
I'd pay for that if I had the money.
That'd be something, man. Just, you see, if you're sitting there and like you pass the salt and the salt flies over, of course, you know.
Oh, that would be fun. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I probably would book it.
I'm sure it's a little bit, you know, a little extra, maybe a couple $100, because it's already a fancy restaurant, so.
No, it's really fancy, but that was pretty neat. I was like, huh. And there's just a bunch of other stuff, like, that he was talking about that, you know, I could probably go on.
So once he set the table up, is it already, like, he's invited, or is it, they have to say you're invited?
Oh, yeah, no, well, they have to formally invite him, but the thing is, this has been going on for years, and, like, different owners have done this tradition. And you can actually, like, there's a way, like, it's downstairs, and you can actually, like, look through a door, like a glass, like, window, and see the table that's set up. Because it's off to the side by itself. And it was really neat. I took a couple of pictures of it. I was, like, taking pictures as much as I can and be like, where's this fucking ghost? And no, that was fun. And I mean, well, we got a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Tell whatever else
left. But yeah, well, that's probably it for the haunted tour, because, you know, I don't want to give too much away, because, you know, and honestly, this was a steal. This was considered a 5-in-1 tour. And it was a 2-hour-long tour, and with a little break in the after the first hour, which was neat, because New Orleans is a open container city, if you didn't know that, meaning you can take whatever alcohol you want and walk around the street and get fucking drunk as you want. And it's really neat, because that's what we did. We got a drink, and my wife and I just was walking around and doing that. But that was fun. But the other tour, we did all kinds of shit. And this is all on Wednesday. But the beginning of our tour was Lafayette Cemetery Number 1, the only cemetery you have to have a guided tour, $5. That's all it cost. And I got to see Marie Laveau's grave. And honestly, as I was getting closer to it, to that, I just felt this weird presence. Like, you know, it honestly was like I started feeling like tingling sensation, and it was really odd because they didn't tell us where we were going. So I was just like, as we were getting closer, it was getting stronger. And then they were like, this is Marie Laveau's grave. And I was like, wow. You know, just because that's where I felt it. And it was just weird because, like, the whole cemetery felt like this. And we went to other cemeteries, and it was the only one that was gave me that feeling. And it was, I mean, because, like, you know, they leave offerings, and they put, like, X's on her, you know, her grave, and they frown upon that now. You're allowed to leave her offerings, but you're not allowed to, like, scratch X's into her tomb, because that's, like, a sign of respect and paying tribute to her. And, you know, we got a big history lesson on her and all the stuff she's done. And apparently, like, she was really, like, well thought of. And see, this is funny. Most people don't know this. That cemetery is a Catholic cemetery. Marie Laveau was both a voodoo priestess and a Catholic. a devout Catholic. And it is really interesting how they do their graves down there. It's a family grave. They because they had, you know, back then when they first started putting graves down, they didn't realize that, you know, if you dig 10 feet into the ground, you're getting water. So when the water, when it floods, you know, all the bodies come up out of the, came up out of the ground and went flying, you know, swimming down toward the Gulf. And they were like, well, we need to do something. So they started cremating them. And then they started dumping their ashes into one tomb. So, you know, and you're guaranteed, if your family pays for it, you're guaranteed a burial plot. And they just throw your ashes in with all the others. So, you know, you have all of her, you have Marie Laveau and all of her kids and all that, you know, just in the same grave. And it's really interesting to see, like, all these names that's just written on the, you know, on the site. But that's not the only interesting grave site I saw there. I saw this monstrosity of a grave. Giant pyramid. Solid white. Like, honestly, it was the biggest one there. Guess who's it belonged to? Nicolas Cage.
Who's that?
He spent $20,000 on this thing. I even have a picture of it, and I will upload that photo later. But apparently, another thing that people used to do is kiss tombstones. And, well, his generated a lot of kisses, like lipstick kisses all over. And he got pissed off because they washed them off, because that's considered desecration. And he's like, I paid $20,000 for it, and, well, I want my kisses. And they were like, well, the Catholic Church was like, no. If you want it, if you want kisses, then take it somewhere else. But he had two family graves dug up and moved just so he can be close to Marie Laveau.
That's crazy.
Like, Nick Cage... Like, the more, like, everywhere I went, Nick Cage was brought up, and he was such a douchebag. Like, and I mean, he's been arrested there, you know, all that. It's just funny. But, you know, it's an eyesore. But it's like, because apparently Nick Cage is huge into voodoo. Like, that's his religion. And that's why he loves New Orleans so much.
Yeah.
And it's just...
I swear with that.
But
knowing
whatever.
That, I don't know why he doesn't do, like, more horror movies. I mean, of course he did The Wicker Man and, you know, that all the cult stuff in that. But, I mean, have him go crazy as, like, this priest, this voodoo, you know, this shaman. Do something like that. I'd love to see, like, Nick Cage as a shaman in Louisiana stuff.
Yeah, no, but... Apparently, like, that house that he bought was so haunted that he ended up having to buy a condo. And they would have viewing parties. People would have viewing parties. So, because every night at dark, he would, you know, leave and go and stay at his condo with his whole family. Lost it in the divorce. And apparently that place is cursed for like seven, like there's like a 7-year curse that you either die or you lose all your fortune or you just something bad happens to you in general. And somebody owns that house now and it's been 7 years. So everybody's like holding their breath because apparently all of New Orleans is superstitious, like, as fuck. Like, some people even gather up their hair after they get their haircut and ask them to put it in a paper bag, and then they take it home and burn it.
Well, with that being said, we're going to end on that note. And
ooh,
say that's
the 2-minute line.
Yeah, we're in the very last second again. So, Ian, I'm glad you had a fun time.
Crap.
Thank you for all the stories and sharing them with everyone. And we'll save those for another time. And thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.